we thought we'd take it upon ourselves to highlight some of the coffee trends that are coming up, maybe even going down in 2024. Hello, and welcome back to another installment of your favorite coffee podcast, The Valor Coffee Podcast. We have an amazing episode. Ross is back in studio, so everybody can, rest easy. We chop up the hottest, coolest, amazingest coffee trends for 2024. What's hot? What's not? It's going to be a real barn burner of a time, so stay tuned for that awesomeness. We also review a coffee from Process Coffee in Belfast, Ireland, all the way from across the pond. It was one of the highest scoring coffees we've had to date, which seems to be happening a lot. Get a lot of good coffee in. What can we do? Always awesome to send questions our way. We love answering questions and helping providing context or insight wherever we can. So DM us, email us, hit us up. We would be honored to highlight whatever question you have to ask. This program is going to be brought to you by our Winter Blend. And Page Turner. Get ready. This is, I don't even know if this thing should be street legal. Honestly, it is a crazy blend of coffees. It is 50% of a washed Sumatran, 30% of a washed Peru, 20% of a washed Papua New Guinea coffee. It's awesome. It is bright. It is chocolatey. It's got some really cool flavor clarity. We were ripping it on espresso just for fun yesterday, and it was delightful. I mean, as we do with all of our seasonal blends, a dollar of every box goes to a local charity. We're sending it to Beloved Atlanta, an organization that helps women rehabilitate getting out of the sex trafficking industry. Do yourself a big flavor and go to our website or cafe and grab one of these boxes. It would be a delight for you to drink this. As always, like this program, review this program, subscribe to the program, tell your friends about the program, talk about it amongst your day, wherever you are. It means so much. It's always an honor to hear people enjoying this time that we get to have together. And we hope you enjoy this week's episode. Peace. Did you listen to the podcast last week?
I listened to the first good bit of it. Yeah.
And
you guys are good at what you do.
We have poor retention, though, if you didn't listen to all of it.
And they're like, I get the idea.
I think there's something special about two people on a podcast.
Yeah.
Instead of three. I know three is obviously what got us to where we are today, which is
the Trinity.
Huge.
Two's company, three's a crowd.
I thought it was three's company, or that's just the TV show. I think that's the TV
show. I don't know. I don't know anything.
You know a lot of stuff.
Hey, I'm just an idiot.
Stop it. Hey, Ross, we're glad to have you back, bro.
How you feeling?
I'm glad to be back. I'm feeling pretty good. I got, for those who don't know, I had to get some stitches in my mouth 1 week ago today.
Anniversary.
This is what a week of recovery feels like. Not just for me, but for you guys too.
Yeah.
Since you had to recover from having less of me around.
We were all rattled, bro.
Do you think you'll ever be the same as you were before?
Scar-wise, no. Like, I think there'll definitely be some scarring on the outside of my face, but that's kind of hard.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
I'm kind of intimidated.
I'm not.
You're going to have to, like, wear makeup if you're, like, if you want to, like, be, like, kind of...
If and when...
Softer appearing to someone, like friendly.
Yeah. Next time I want to appear softer, I'll think about that.
Yeah.
But no, I'm feeling pretty good today. I kind of just had to shut down like the left side of my face for the last week.
You're getting pretty good at the right side though, right?
Yeah. No, I think my right side's really progressing, but
I got Ross's active side over here.
Yeah, true.
It's a treat.
But, it's been really hard being around my coworkers lately because
wow,
it really hurts to smile.
And we're so funny.
And you guys, honestly, it's made me reflect just to get sappy on how much I smile in my life. You know, like I was working this week. You know, we were doing a cart event yesterday.
Yes, we were.
I was in pain the whole time because I was with Ethan. And that's how it usually is. But it was
dishing
like,
out the ha-has.
It was like in a different way.
It was a different kind of pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually it's like an annoying
yeah.
pain, but this was yeah. like a, I'm disturbed.
Last night, Rachel was like, so you're going to do the podcast tomorrow? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, you know, you're going to smile a lot. And I was like, I know, but it's gonna be worth it. So I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
Awesome.
You don't have to smile, bro. There's no pressure.
Thank you, Randy Rivers, for your prayers. I saw he commented.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That's
sweet.
And now I'm feeling good. Maybe a week from today, I will be fully recovered, except the scars. But that's okay.
They tell a story, bro.
Amen.
Dude, it looks like you are just ready to give us a question.
Oh, yeah. So someone wrote in.
Wow.
And they say, hello, Ross, Ethan, and Riley. Hello.
Hello.
Love listening to your guys' podcast and have gotten a lot of great information from it.
Thank you.
Thank you. My wife and I recently started a coffee cart in NorCal, Sacramento region.
That means Northern California, Riley.
Okay. Yeah, I had no clue.
You're like, a NorCal? The state?
We started the day after Labor Day, have done about 20 events now, learned a ton in the process. Wow. And are seeking to do more going into 2024. We do this as a part-time side hustle with a vision of doing this as a full-time gig with a storefront, roasting operation, etc.
Whoa.
Now that we have a good feel for what we are doing and are actually really enjoying it, feels like it grows our relationships. Our relationship. Wow, that's awesome. Where and how should we be focusing our time and resources to getting more events? Our target market is weddings. We have our first one in March and maybe one or two more in May. We'd like to be doing an event every weekend if we could. Again, love listening to the pod. It's part of my weekly ritual. You guys are great. Thank you so much for the great content and looking forward to your response. So, I'd be interested to hear what you guys have to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
He did drop a link to their Instagram page. And I look at it, and it looks cool. They've got a cool-looking cart.
Yep.
So first thing off the bat, so you started at Labor Day, and you've done 20 events. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is Labor Day in...
September.
September?
Yeah. Oh,
that's really good.
Yeah. I would be interested to know a little bit more about what those events were. Because
how much he charged.
Yeah, exactly. Because you could look at it like, were those pop-up events where you were like popping up and taking transactions and only making $200? Or were those events where you were charging $1,800 for a wedding? So that would be my first thought. And maybe where I would start in that one way, if you're not going to get busier, is just to charge more money. Thoughts?
Go ahead. No, Ross, I want you to go ahead.
Because I wasn't here last week.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to you mostly.
Great. I like that. We have played with our pricing a good bit over the years in our catering operation. I think there were times where we went too high. There were definitely times where we were too low, but... necessarily too low. I think that when you're starting your company, it's okay to take a lower rate in order to get in front of people, because that's where so much of your opportunity comes from, is just like you guys so eloquently talked about last week, being in the room.
Come on.
So whatever you, especially if you don't have a storefront, which in this case they don't, you need to be out in the community as much as possible. So even if you do that farmer's market, it's, and you make $200 or whatever, that's just what you did on the weekend, be intentional about making connections with people in that process. Process that's just on my mind. We have a box of coffee called process on the table. I think we've charged too much, and it reflected in our bookings. We just didn't book events. One business philosophy that we rely on a lot that was referenced in an earlier podcast this month, I think, was this book, Purple Cow, Seth Godin. And one of our main takeaways from that book was the best marketing you can do is improving your product. And so that's one thing we did in our catering operation. The whole experience of how someone reaches out to us, the website page, the pictures on it, the how the quote looks, you know, like we used to just send an email with the offerings of what we mm-hmm. have and the prices. But now we have this, you know, pretty well formatted PDF that is more thorough and has more visuals. And so that's an example of us improving the product itself and the process and the experience itself, and then letting that affect growth. I think that's always a good place to start, is looking inward and saying, how can I improve our experience? Not just the drinks, not just the visuals of the cart, but the whole customer journey. And then we just signed up for The Knot / Wedding Wire.
Yeah, they're on The Knot. It's in their bio. They're on The Knot and Wedding Wire.
Awesome. Well, I think this would be a great topic for our listeners, because a lot of you guys run coffee carts. How many of you are on The Knot / Wedding Wire? Because we just joined. We signed up for a year. And I want to know, is it worth it for you guys? Do you guys get leads? Do you book weddings? I know that this couple here is on The Knot, so I don't know what tier they're on or how much that even matters, really. Mm-hmm. I know that in our situation, we're on one of the higher tiers, but there's not really any other coffee carts in our area on The Knot, which is kind of concerning for me at first, honestly. Like, why? I know that there's coffee carts in mm-hmm. Georgia, like, for sure. There's coffee carts that are more established than our coffee cart in Georgia. Why aren't they on The Knot? And it was just kind of like, okay, let's just try it out for a year. Like, it's not that expensive. I thought it would be more expensive. But that's a few thoughts. Work on your product. Work on your customer experience. I would include on your Instagram, too. I would put yourself in the shoes of a bride or groom to be and say, what would I want to see if I looked at this Instagram? I know that a balance that we've struck over the years with our Instagram is we don't want it to just be a community bulletin board of what's going on. We don't want it to just be like an announcement of like, oh, we have this new pastry or we have this new mm-hmm. whatever it is, because the reality is, how many of the people that interact with your Instagram interact with it via the algorithm while they're scrolling versus how many of them interact with it by just going to your page and seeing like what the posts are, which is why, Riley, you obsess over the grid so much of like, you know, what, and that's the whole point I'm making. What is the experience of a viewer when they come to your page? My experience is that, okay, I see some latte art. I see what kind of looks like a cart. Okay, I'm going to click on it.
There's Anthony Anderson.
I can see him. You know, you guys look happy. That's great. My whole point is, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
We know that guy.
Celebrity endorsement.
Dang, that's what you want on the top of your page, baby.
So, point is, make your Instagram, I think, a little bit more product focused of like what brides or grooms would be signing up for.
Yeah, I would pin 3 posts at the top. And it would be like a very distinguished picture of my cart, like zoomed out just the cart, mm-hmm. because you have to showcase that, because especially in the wedding market, people want to see a buttoned up presentation of what exactly is going to be a part of the aesthetic of their event. Especially if you're talking about higher end, if you're going to work your way into higher end weddings, that might pay a lot for a coffee cart. So that's my initial thought. The next thing, you don't have a website, it looks like, at the very least in your Instagram description, and it says DM to book. I personally would start looking into building out even just a simple one-page website with a contact form, because that tells me that you're probably not ranking very well on SEO, because all your SEO is either going to The Knot or Instagram. And that's how we get a lot of our events, just from people looking up Coffee Cart Atlanta. And then we rank within the top, 3 or something like that?
Yeah, I was on the phone with someone from The Knot, and they were like, If you get an account with The Knot, then your SEO is going to skyrocket because The Knot has really good SEO. And I was like, okay, let's test it. So I Googled coffee cart Atlanta, or like coffee catering Atlanta, or like wedding coffee Atlanta. And first of all, The Knot wasn't on there. It was not on there. And we were number like 7. Yeah.
If I just look up coffee catering, I mean, obviously it's because we're location based here, but it's a sponsored post. And then it's Mocha My Day, which is like
the biggest, always has been,
biggest caterer. And then it's Valor Coffee.
Yeah.
So that is the power of a website with SEO. So I would do that really soon. And then if you get people there, you could figure out some sort of lead magnet to capture their email at the very least. And then you're in control of reaching out to them. So I would say all that's huge. I would start there. And then you don't have many posts. That's the last thing I'll say. Just figure out reasons to post and start making your way into the evoked set of folks out there. But very last thing, should weddings be your target market? Weddings used to be our target market, and we've kind of like pivoted on that, where we're not just like out there looking for wedding events. I would assume that the reason you are doing that would be because this is your side hustle. Mm-hmm. So it's a good weekend thing. In comparison to like corporate events, but like corporate events are pretty great. So if you ever are able to transition out of your current 9-to-5 or whatever, I would start looking into like, what can I do during the week to really capitalize and do a lot of events Monday to Friday?
Yep. That's good. Can you just quickly define evoke set?
Yeah.
Cause we talk about that all the time internally and you just threw it out there.
All right, Ross, I have a boo-boo on my hand. What am I going to put on it?
Band-Aid.
Boom. Band-Aid is a brand. It's not a thing. What do I want to say? It's not an object. It's a brand. Bandage is the object. So the reason Band-Aid runs the market is because they become synonymous with the object. I'm trying to think of another one.
Kleenex.
Ethan, permanent marker, go.
Sharpie.
Or like my lips are like super, super chapped.
Chapstick.
Yeah.
Is Chapstick a brand?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Lip balm.
Lip balm.
Is the object. So that is the entire point of marketing and advertising, so that you can start to work your way into the evoked set of people out there. Coke and Pepsi, like that's what you think of when you think soda. And then whenever you have that, whether consciously or subconsciously, your product is going to start to sell like crazy. So that's, you know, with specialty coffee right now, my evoked set for specialty coffee is kind of like, I think of like the older big three, but then in the newer stuff, I'm thinking about like Onyx, and they've done a lot of work to get themselves into that consideration. Mm-hmm.
They're just around.
Yeah.
That's huge. Methodical, too. Mm. Who's in your specialty coffee evoked set?
Better be Valor.
Yeah.
Valor.
Number one, Valor Coffee. All right, guys. We've got a topic at hand. Ethan?
Well, as the trendsetters of the specialty coffee podcast with a cart emphasis industry, we thought we'd take it upon ourselves to highlight some of the coffee trends that are coming up, maybe even going down in 2024. I'm gonna chop it up with you guys because I love chopping it up with you guys. Mm. Also, I feel like these trends kind of make their way onto social media pretty quickly. And maybe there's not a ton of context for what's actually going on. Because the first one's pretty interesting. I've heard about it for maybe last year, but I've been seeing it more and more. That's people spraying their coffee beans with
RDT.
Water. RDT.
That's what we call it. The Ross droplet technique. Because Ross made it.
Wow, thanks. He didn't make it. Bro. Mm-hmm.
I don't know who. I would assume their last name was probably Ross.
Yeah, because anyone with a first name Ross is a psycho.
It's funny that these industry-wide terms just get coined by like a home barista who tried something. Like WDT, Weiss Distribution Technique, was just like a guy on a forum who used some acupuncture needles and like put it through his coffee, and it made it better.
Dang. Shout out.
Now he's cemented. And I don't know if this guy had a science background or not, but that's funny. But do you guys do that? Do you do the RDT? Do you do it here? Do you do it at home?
Never.
I've never done it either.
Mm. What's going on, man?
I do it. I do it at home and here for the sake of cleanliness. But there's new research that I think is going to mean that it's going to expand even more. So whenever you spray the beans, that water attaches to, I guess it's electrons, what causes static, yeah?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, totally. So it neutralizes all the static. So when you run it through the grinder, it doesn't cause a big mess.
Wow.
Coffee doesn't spray everywhere. So I do it at home for, and my grinder's supposed to have like, no, it's ions. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, right, no. Right. But negatively charged. Okay, whatever.
Dawson County High School, baby.
Yeah. So I do it at home, and my grinder's supposed to have like an ion neutralizer, but even that doesn't get it all. So I just spray, and then it keeps things really clean. It means that I don't end up with coffee grounds on my counter. So a paper came out recently, and this has been talked about ad nauseum by James Hoffman and Lance Hedrick and what have you.
The big dogs.
Yeah. About, they've really delved into this paper and done some of the testing themselves. But if you spray the beans like 3 times, like really get them wet, because I do like one spray, like kind of shake them up and then run it through the grinder with like my little spray bottle. If you spray them like 3 times, it's showing like a pretty vast increase in extraction percentage, extraction yield on espresso specifically.
Dang.
So
you said on espresso specifically?
Yeah.
Word?
And I think that there's not enough science behind it yet. I think the speculation is that whenever you don't do that, the static caused within these fines makes them group together and causes a bunch of tiny little micro channels. So the more you wet the beans, the more you neutralize all that static, you are going to then have a more even extraction across the board because everything is separate. So I totally think there's going to be some amount of folks trying to figure out how can we incorporate this within the commercial environment.
Mm.
How can we get our beans sprayed? I don't know if it's going to be like a little spritz as it goes through the hopper, but I think it's coming.
Now, I mean, I hate to jump in negatively because it does sound like there's a lot of positives, but I wonder what that does to the grinder, all that moisture passing through.
I think, so they were checking that. They were using, in this paper, they were using an EK43, mm-hmm. and they said that it had no negative effect on the burrs whatsoever.
Hey, I just remember we had a malfunction with our EK here a few months back, and you were like, that is when we started spraying our beans.
Yeah.
If it affected the like lubrication in the oil.
Oh, yeah. The squeaky?
Squeaky, and then the it got so dry that it wasn't spinning right, and then
it broke the shear plate or something.
Broke the shear plate.
Mm. Yeah,
but
maybe
you know,
if that's the only, I guess you just have to weigh. It's like you're supposed to keep that thing lubed up, anyways.
Yeah, it makes me think about the E80. It's like, well, if you get a better result, but it just also means you have to do more back end work. Just gotta weigh the pros and the cons.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm pretty sure you guys know those like really tricked out EK43s that people like mod. I think like Titus,
yeah,
does them. I think they had a hopper and they've had it for years that has like a little like squeezer on the side. I don't know what you want to call it. Think about like stress ball thing. And like I'm pretty sure that might be what that's for. I don't know if it's either that or bellows. You guys know what bellows are? Mm. Like a lot of home grinders have this like like on the top where you take it off and you put the coffee in, it's like this little like squeezy thing like that you can press down. You like press it and it helps remove all the retention from the burrs and shoot it through by forcing air.
Mm.
So also helps with cleanliness. I don't know if it's that or if it's a spray situation. Whoa. Maybe I can look into that really quickly while you guys talk about something.
Do you want to move on from this?
Let's move on.
Well, we've done a lot of talk last year, old 2023, about pour-overs making their exit. And with the rise of stuff that we're doing via the Noma Kano and other brew methods like that, we're gonna say less pour-overs this year. And maybe to Riley's pleasure, a move towards like zero bypass pour over options, like the next level. I know you were talking about one called the Filter 3.0.
Yeah, so that was
the, that's the
you know it.
Yeah, he was showing this. Have you heard about this?
No, what is it?
Hey, are you buckled in? Buckle in.
Yeah, I think so.
Basically, I mean, Riley, hop in, but Scott Rayow made or had it made a portafilter that's like this deep.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're just using, it's just like a way beefed up coffee shot that involves more pressure profiling. So you're probably not just like deleting the puck with water, but it looks like it almost just drips out because it's got such a low pressure.
I will confirm that the thing I was talking about on the side is first spritzing the beans.
Like when you send it in a special channel, you know how like you dose it?
I think it just does it in the, I think it just does it in the hopper, like before you let it rip.
Yeah. I didn't know if that was paired with, you know, they have those, you fill up the...
You see that? That is the pump. That's the water reservoir.
Oh, wow. That is techie.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like Titus Grinders also push like... You can fill up the hopper and then like dose it.
Yeah, like the volumetric thing.
So I was thinking about how that could work because you're not, you don't want to just spray the top.
Huh.
You want to like spray the dose.
Interesting.
But maybe not.
We'll look into it.
Anyways, the Filter 3.0, super deep portafilter, and you're just using the espresso machine as your pour over device.
Works really well with machines that allow for flow control and pressure profiling.
Mm.
So I don't think that we could let it rip in our cafes. Maybe that is why we should have gotten the Strata X instead of the S. Mm. But it...
Well, you probably need to get another one though, right? Because it doesn't take... It probably brew like a pour over.
Like takes a long time? Yeah, I think it definitely takes longer for sure.
That would be the most stressful like bar flow ever.
Yeah.
You just have two of those going on your two group espresso machine, you're like
3 minutes later.
they're all the same concept, you know, like filter at the bottom, like paper, circular paper filter at the bottom. Everything has to pass through this paper filter. No bypass water can get through it. It's all touch the coffee. Same deal with that and the next level Pulsar and AeroPress is the same thing. The thing with the AeroPress is that you have a plunger. So like some people say that the plunger can cause some amount of astringency. So I think that's why I prefer the, I mean, I feel like I've noticed that with every AeroPress I've ever brewed. Mm-hmm. So that's why I really like the next level. There's another one. I think it's called like the Trickle It or something like that.
Watch your mouth.
And it's the same type of vibe, but it looks exactly like the next level, except you can't like stop flow, which is kind of the cool thing about the Pulsar.
Bird?
And the Bird is the new one. I think I showed it to you. I might have showed it to you.
I wish. I don't think so.
It's from Weber Workshops. I don't think it's for sale yet. It's probably going to be $5,000. Not really. But it looks like a French press.
Oh.
So.
Oh, it was on that dude's Instagram that has really aesthetic videos. Yeah.
Yes. Let me see if I can find this.
While you're pulling that up, I think to figure out where the trend is going to go, you have to think about why the trend's going out. You know, because like...
What's leaving?
Mm-hmm. So like if pour-overs are going out, why? Well, consistency issues takes a long time. And mind you, we're talking mostly commercial setting here, although homebrewing probably would go this way too.
Yeah, I think if a homebrewer knew they could make it more. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
So what we're looking at here is like almost a reverse French press. You kind of like put this thing in the bottom, put the coffee above all of it, and then you go full immersion. And then the lid has this crazy like churn thing that agitation, you can agitate the coffee with. But then it like hooks into the bottom, and then you start twisting it up. And then twist, the coffee passes through this thing, which has a paper filter within it, and then ends up in the bottom. So it looks pretty crazy.
That's kind of sick.
It looks cool.
It does look really cool. Like if you wanted to have... This goes against everything we say. If you wanted to have a crazy manual bar thing at your cafe... But like,
that's its own memorable experience.
Exactly. Like that. If you offer that to someone and you like take it to their freaking table and you're like...
Yeah.
People would love that.
Or you let them do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's just like you throw it down there, you set the timer, you're like, hey... And that timer goes off, just twist it up, and you're ready to go.
Like a little hourglass, when the hourglass runs out?
No, I'm thinking like a really loud... Like, beep, beep,
beep, beep. Dude, a quick note on No Macanos. I mentioned this to Ethan yesterday while we were catering our event.
Wow.
I was talking to John from Super Official, wholesale partner up in New York, and we were talking about No Macanos and how after you brew them... And you pour them over either a V60 or even a Kalita or whatever it is, it can clog sometimes. And he was like, what if you poured it in an XL AeroPress? Have you seen XL AeroPresses?
Yeah.
They're like huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pour it in there and then push it down. And then the paper filter in the AeroPress is the paper filter that it passes through instead of like a V60.
Mm.
But it's like that's not going to clog because you're literally plunging it down.
Yeah.
So that should be something we try with our No Macano. Just have like, if it works out, like two AeroPresses on the bar, and you just finish your No Macano, pour it in there, plunge it, and then serve it. I think that would be worth trying.
I haven't had many problems with clogging.
I think it's like a flow thing. At least for me, I've just had to pour it slowly. I do want to switch to Kalita flat bottom filters eventually.
Yeah,
because I just don't like conical anything anymore, except conical burrs, I guess, are coming back. What's going on there? man, dude, but the tableside bird, you're kind of sick.
That would be sick.
No cap, fam.
Next coffee trend: blade grinders are coming back.
Shut your mouth.
Dude, you heard it here first. Hey, so, this isn't the best time for this, but we were talking about bottomless for a second. We were playing around with bottomless portafilters because you can see what's going on the bottomless portafilter. And because we do all these trainings and we talk about like, oh, this happens if you do this, or if you tamp unevenly, it's going to happen like this. And we tested all those out. It was legit.
It was crazy.
You literally can just see water. Like if you dislodge your puck, you can see water going around and it's way lighter. And then in the center, you see like it stays dark as if it's not extracting completely, and then it stops. Yeah. And you can like see like little jets of water squeezing through the holes. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Yeah, that's why homebrewers love bottomless portafilters. And I understand why we don't. But
for so many reasons,
there are some reasons that make me want to start using them in the cafe. You guys should do one with the auto comb and without the auto comb, and watch how much of a difference that makes. Because it's pretty nuts.
I bet. I mean, even with like perfect technique, or like in air quotes, perfect, meaning like it looks perfectly redistributed. There's really no visible clumps. The tamp is absolutely money. There's no suction. It's still not perfect every time,
for sure,
even from a seasoned barista. So yeah, the auto comb would probably up that consistency, but it was cool to see the bottomless port filter. I've always just been down on it efficiency wise because splitting shots are so important to us in the cafe.
It's kind of, I mean, it's kind of messy too. Especially when you're doing it for here cups, it sprays around pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that but that's what people would argue that it shouldn't.
I'm saying even when it's good, it just like hits and
the side of the walls and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
And then this is so crazy, but I swear the crema, it pours a little differently.
That makes total sense. There's less agitation
on
a gaseous liquid. And so it just maintains more.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll say on the note of clogging, you guys remember that brewer we were talking about like a year ago that has like, again, back to pumps, has that pump on the side where you like brew and like a full immersion brew and then you like pump it out and like pumps it through a paper filter. That could be another thing that could help with the clogging.
Yeah.
Hey, just put it in there and be like.
All right. Last thing. We were at Dunwoody yesterday and one of the pit crew dudes there, Paul, was like, I was explaining a coffee shot to a guest and then he like stopped me while I was talking about it and said, oh, like a Nomicano. And he was like, oh yeah, it is like that.
That's funny.
That's how you know, man. That's a legit thing that's happening. People know about it.
We gotta get people to start putting middle childs on their middle
children.
I feel good saying middle childs in this case.
Yeah.
On their menu.
It's a cool drink.
Yeah.
It's a really cool drink.
That would be cool to see. If you want to put middle child on your menu, do it.
Which is something we came up with a while ago, if you don't know. And it's like, is it a 1-to-8 brew ratio?
9-20.
Now someone's going to listen to it and say, you didn't come up with it.
I'm sure someone else made it too, and that's awesome.
But we gave it a cool name.
Yeah. And if you gave it that same name too, then...
Then contact us because that's weird.
That's freaky.
We're probably the same person. We'll put you in touch with our lawyer, our attorney.
Yeah, 20 in, 180 out.
Yummy.
30-something seconds.
All right, next trend. More specialty coffee shops using cold foam. Thoughts?
Dude, I just thought we would make the world's biggest splash by doing cold foam in the fall. Nobody cared.
Mm.
They like just ordered it like it was a menu item.
Yeah.
I think it's just so ubiquitous in other cafes that when you go to a specialty shop, it's just like, oh, great. They have the thing everyone else has.
Yeah. Do we want to give any story about any pushback we might have had amongst the staff?
Hey, we had pushback because it's like, it's a lame thing in a lot of people's eyes. Because it's like, that's what Dunkin' does. That's what Starbucks does. And it's like, well, we're going to try to do it awesome.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things we fell into so much as we were starting this business and understandably other people do as well. And that just because Starbucks does something doesn't mean that you should not do it. And a lot of times, because Starbucks is doing something, they have a lot more money for market research and understanding of end consumers than a lot of other companies do.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't we constantly be looking at the things they're doing and at least being like, what could that look like in a specialty format?
Yeah. Yeah, and figuring out, you know, you have to hold that against who you are as a company, your values, your vision, your mission. And when those things are in alignment, it's like, go for it. We're like, cold foam is something that it literally just beefs up putting cream and sugar on something. You know, it's just like a cooler experience, better texture, more fun. You can play around with flavors. So it's like, oh, seems like a win. And I mean, hey, we were doing the same thing back at the cart. We're like, we're not going to do 16 ounce. But then everybody wanted it. And we're like, there's not really an actual conviction. It's just like, we don't want to. It's not about like, it's bad for the environment to get 16 ounces of drip, you know? So that's just a huge thing that we've learned over the years. And, you know, it is so important to know who you are. That's valor, coffee, courage in the face of adversity, steadfastness, knowing what we're about, sticking to it. But then it's also being nimble, being aware. So, yeah, we have seen a trend that will probably continue of more specialty cafes leaning into things that maybe are more common to the mass consumer.
Yeah, it's whenever you limit yourself so much, you niche down. If you're going to niche down so far, you have to start charging more per product. And that's just like classic business. But there's just perception within coffee where you can't just charge an insane amount if you're just like talking about like a cafe on the street. So
Blue Bottle Tasting Room, different story, I bet.
Yes. I mean, exactly. But for the vast majority of us. Yes. So when you look at something like cold foam, how can you not at least entertain that, okay, maybe I should tap into that market so my company can make more money, just practically to stay in business. So I would just say, even if you're not going to do it, it's always worth the thought exercise of what if I did this and did it really well.
Yeah, and I'm almost never a believer in throwing the baby out with the bathwater, in the sense of I could see why someone doesn't want to embrace a Starbucks trend because they don't want to be associated with Starbucks and the other things that Starbucks is known for. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to throw out the cold foam with the Starbucks, you know, like with the Starbucks speed culture. Even though we're trying to have, you know, focus on speed in our company, they can be known for skimping on drinks just for speed, or like not caring about customer experience or connection with people just to get the drive-through time down, or whatever it is. But, you know, chew the meat, spit out the bones, I think is always a good good mantra to live by in business, instead of throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm. And the cool thing, we were talking to a business mentor last week. There's one-way decisions and two-way decisions. Is that what he said? Mm-hmm. You know, put cold foam on the menu. If it doesn't work, you can take it off the menu.
It's a two-way decision.
Yeah. You can maybe, you know, maybe one or two people thinks you're lamer or something because you tried it, but you can always go back. So maybe there'll be more of that. Hey, we tried something new. We especially drink. It has more of like a health focus this year, top of the year. We got local raw honey and collagen going in a latte. Whereas typically we're going for more like coffee cocktail, niche ingredient kind of stuff. This is like just a different type of drink. And it's like, it's a seasonal menu item. If it doesn't work, just do something else next time.
Yeah, that's fun. On the note of just all the specialty drinks, those weren't really accepted back when we first started doing them. I remember Elijah, when he came on board, he saw that we had like a seasonal drink menu, and it was a turnoff for him.
Yeah, because you can
think. Elijah.
Sorry, Elijah. You can think about like what that used to be like. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like that ugly chalkboard at the front of the register that's like seasonal flavors, and it's usually just like
pumpkin spice latte,
different Torani syrups,
turtle mocha,
seasonal.
Easy, Ross. I'm kidding. But now, like that's like the thing people go to when they go to new coffee shops. Is like, what kind of like one off seasonal stuff do you have? I'm constantly hearing that about Sidetrack or places in Hotlanta. It's like, what's their seasonal spin right now?
And that was probably fueled by like competition
of like other people doing cool drinks. And it's like, oh,
well, that, but I mean like barista competitions.
Oh yeah.
You know how they would like have their coffee and they do it, whatever the format of the competition is, but they would always have like a Sig Bev, and that's always been a thing. And I don't know if it's always been a thing in competitions, as far as I can remember and know for myself, it's always been a thing. So, translating that to coffee shops, that's probably why it's there. And specialty specifically, because it's like drinks that highlight the coffee. Even though I feel like that's total BS also.
Like, drinks that highlight the coffee?
Yes.
Like this coffee's floral, so it's going to have floral stuff in it?
Yeah, I think people do that and they do that well. But from what I've seen of signature beverage menus, seasonal beverage menus, and even in like the highest end of specialty coffee shops, they're not making those menus to like highlight this innate flavor and quality within the bean. It's like, it's just going to taste like coffee. And
you're just using, you're just using cold brew concentrate to get coffee flavor into a drink.
Not to throw shade at anyone, but like, I'm not,
because that's an awesome drink to do.
Yeah, not a bad thing at all. Just in my experience, I've definitely seen that.
I mean, that'd be kind of insane to like start a drink with your foundation being like a Kenyan espresso.
Yeah.
You know, and like go there from that point. I thought that would get some shade because like just drink the espresso because that's cool.
And you put a lot of work in it. Yeah. Do you remember when one of our signature beverages was a single origin shot of Kenya?
Kenyum, baby.
Shot of Kenyum. And it was like, this is crazy enough to be a seasonal beverage.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, in Alpharetta, there's probably a very, very small amount of people that had a, that have ever had a Kenyan espresso.
Hey, unless we put it on again, but free throw reigns. Let's move on, huh?
Let's move on. All right. Number four, low calf varietals are going to start hitting coffee menus this year.
Like low ABV drinks in the bar?
That's right. Low caffeine varietals are going to start replacing some decaf out there. I'm excited for it.
Do you know any low-calf varietals off the top of your dome piece?
AC1, baby.
AC1?
Yeah.
What?
So there's this varietal, AC1, that they've been messing around with for a long time. Long time. But it's starting to look promising. And they're starting to plant it across many different origin countries. And the kicker here is that AC1 contains 0.76 milligrams of caffeine per gram of coffee, okay?
Still not a lot at all.
0.76, whereas typical Arabica varietals contain 8 to 12 milligrams per gram of coffee. So significantly...
like less than decaf.
Yeah, I don't know what decaf is off the top of my head, but that seems promising. I think the problem they've had really is that it... the yields are so low, so it's probably going to, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be pricey to start.
Yeah.
But I would love to put that on our menu.
And just wait until AC2 comes out.
I think that those all already exist, and AC1's just the best.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Are there, do you know that there's any like specific countries that it is in more than others?
I think Ethiopia.
Ethiopia coffees?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, one reason why that's really attractive is even if you use an EA process decaf or definitely a Swiss water process decaf, those, both of those processes are relatively violent on the coffee and the flavor that it's innately bringing pre-decaf.
I'm sorry,
process.
Costa Rica. And now it's made its way to Brazil.
Okay. Yeah. It's a more central south.
Yeah.
But if it can just already be low calf and not have to go through an external, you know, post-harvest process.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the from what I've read, the tree itself is low yielding and resistant to rust, but not resistant whatsoever to like strong changes in climate. Like it can't stand higher temperatures whatsoever. Mm. So I'm sure it'll be pretty specific, but it seems promising. Mm. I'm sure that we'll see someone at the top of the industry start to roll one of those out here soon.
Why not us?
And why not us? I'd do it.
I would do it too.
I don't know if I would replace decaf right away. Maybe eventually. Mm. Especially if you can get the stats behind it that, you know, decaf has this amount of trace caffeine versus this. This tastes way better.
Right.
Take this.
Yeah. I mean, our decaf, we've put a lot into it. But it's like it roasts way differently than the rest of our coffees.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like it's by far our darkest coffee, and it's one of our shorter roast times. Just because like that, even we have an EA process, ethyl acetate process, decaf, and that's a lot better than Swiss water. But it still just like changes the coffee and makes it break down a lot faster in the roaster. So
yeah.
I would definitely want to try one of those coffees.
Same. All right, number five and the final one. I think we're already seeing this. People are already doing it, but it's just going to keep rolling out. More specialty roasters are going to start putting previously frowned upon type coffees on their offering sheet. A la dark roast. Half calf.
A half calf?
Other stuff. Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Like a bag of half calf?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Especially talking about that previous one.
That could you could just call that half calf.
You really could. I wonder how low. Again, sounds I want to compare.
Sounds like you'd do a blend.
Let me see if I can find the decaf stats real quick.
But that would be like a legit blend. Because, you know, like we've blended 10 grams of free throw and 10 grams of our decaf book club in a tin before and call it 20 grams and then extracted that as an espresso. But when you have like that differing level of roast level in a blend, it just doesn't, like the solubility is just a lot different with those two coffees. But if it was like a low calf varietal with a normal coffee, that would be a legit blend.
Look out, baby.
That's exciting.
I'm excited. Yeah, that's legit. AC1 coming to a town near you.
Yeah, so on the topic of dark roast, we kind of talked with Will about this on our podcast with Methodical. But for just wanting to talk about reaching more consumers and still being able to make a coffee that is tasty for most, again, might not be my preferred profile, but it's so many people's preferred profile, and that's not going to change. So we're rolling out a dark roast.
That's right.
Soon.
We're trying to figure out the name. So if you in the comments have a clever but clear name idea.
And cool.
And yeah, that's the three C's. And we pick it, I'll send you a bag on us.
Yeah, there we go.
That's cool.
Crowdsourcing some dark roast names real quick.
And on the note of half calf, I see people who are doing it. I think Onyx has both.
They have
about our evoked set. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Their dark roast is called Eclipse, I believe.
And they have half calf?
And they have a half calf.
Dang.
Yeah. We can read up on the specs of that real quick.
They also have a coffee called Cold Brew.
Yeah.
Bro. Dude, and they're like viewed as premier because they also have some of the most expensive coffees you can get.
Yeah. There's probably some OG purist types that would look down on them having a coffee called Cold Brew.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm like, hey, sell coffee.
Yeah.
Like, especially just as a business owner perspective, like, yeah, go for it.
Power Nap is what their half calf is called.
It's nice.
You need a quick burst of energy, but your bedtime is in 3 hours. You, my friend, need a power nap. You already love our floral washed worka from Ethiopia. Well, we blended it with a natural sugarcane process, Columbia, creating Power Nap.
That's exactly what I was just dogging on.
We created this half-calf blend just for you. A pre-roast blend of 50% of our beloved Ethiopia worka and 50% pre-roast of our decaf Columbia Aquila. The resulting cup is silky sweet and reminiscent of rye peach and cacao with a sweet finish of brown sugar. It's so tasty.
You might just have
two cups and stay up past your bedtime. Haha.
That's pretty good copy.
Good copy.
That is good copy.
Dude, pre-roast blend?
Wait, what?
It said pre-roast blend of Ethiopia worka and sugar cane, which
is... Did I just say that?
EA. What's that I was talking about earlier at the last time?
Yeah, it is a pre-roast blend. Interesting.
Well, because that's what Ross was saying is one of the problems if you're trying to... If you're talking about premier extraction, decaf is going to have such a different solubility than whatever you're mixing it with. So if you're roasting the coffees the same, you kind of fix that problem. You might have some other problems, but...
Dude, I think extraction science is too hard to boil down to just that.
Hey, I'm saying...
Let's get into a little spat here, all right? Whenever we take free throw and we put it in a hopper, you cannot tell me that we are perfectly extracting the Brazil and perfectly extracting the natural Ethiopian. Isn't that something to think about? You're just trying to find the balance of what tastes the best between one of those coffees being over-extracted and the other one being under-extracted.
That stuff's starting to melt my brain, as well as when you think about what's happening in an espresso. And it's like, what if we always say, like, it's the culmination of all these things that make it taste good. It's just like, well, what if you actually just got rid of the first 10 grams of what comes out of the espresso because it's so bad.
Yeah.
And with blends, I've always thought, like, if it's an 80-20 blend and you have 18 grams, how do you really think there's, like, an adequate, accurate representation of 80% of that 18 grams is Brazil, 20% of that 18 grams is a natural processed coffee?
If you're mixing well, I think you can get relatively close. But obviously, every shot's going to be a little different.
Yeah. Which is maybe why some people are like, single origin is better than blends.
I get it. I mean, single origins are all blends as well, or most of them.
Go there.
Because you're just talking about co-ops who are processing the coffee and sending them out. So from if you have, you know, you do have a little bit of an advantage in that you might have a few farms in a region who are all growing the same varietal coffee, and then you're putting it all together. So it is going to be relatively similar. But it's coming from different places, different terroirs, different maintenance on that land, then it is all going to be a little different. Yeah. So how can you? That's why there's no perfect cup of coffee, and there never will be.
Dude, single plant. Give me our new thing.
Single plant. We picked all these cherries from the same plant at the perfect ripeness.
It's a deep game, man.
I can see that there is like some... like eye roll annoyance about this, these like minuscule details in the coffee industry of like, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do this and you could have done this and all that. I think that like when I see coffee influencers, Instagram pages, like all of the comments are pretty much on that storyline. They're like, all this for a cup of coffee, or like, you know, kind of dogging on that. Like, wow, this is like, you look like you have a degree in Harvard to be able to brew this cup of coffee or whatever. But
that's hurtful.
There's some toxicity being thrown from all sides. Non-coffee drinkers, people in the coffee community.
Yeah.
It's a tough crowd.
But I think when you're, I was going to use the word influencer. What I really mean is like a leader in the coffee industry, and you are always trying to figure out how to make your extraction or your roast or your customer experience 1% better or 2% better or 0.5% better, like that is something to be celebrated. And that's like what I would want this podcast to push forward is like, yeah, be the nerd. Like be the weird guy who like gets made fun of on the internet because you're trying out this new thing or you're going through all these steps in the process to make your cup of coffee and you get called like a scientist or whatever, you know, like that, that's the stuff that pushes the industry forward and that's what keeps it interesting. And that's like how actual discoveries are made and how the whole course of industry can be changed is like someone just being a little silly and like, or like thinking, man, what if we could harvest a single cup of coffee from one plant? You know, like that, that's such a funny idea, but like, we probably aren't the first people to have that idea either, but why not?
Yeah.
But those are our trends.
Come on. Hey, one of my thoughts is, when do you think it'll end? Like, this is such a young industry, like making a premium, really well extracted cup of coffee. Do you think one day we're just going to land on an amazing brewer with the perfect basket, with the perfect knowledge of like different roast levels that work? And it's just like, yeah, we do this now.
I just feel like that would happen in a lab with some insanely expensive piece of equipment. And then there'd be a way for it to be bottled or a la Cometeer frozen.
Which I saw Cometeer in Costco this weekend.
What? No way. Are you serious?
No cap, fam.
Zero. How was it priced?
I don't know. I was walking around. I was like, is that Cometeer?
I ordered Cometeer 2 days ago for my house. And I was at Costco 3 days ago.
And you could have got it at Costco. That's what you're
probably for cheaper.
Yeah.
Costco.
I think just because of the price of coffee, I think there will be a time where the price of coffee being low compared to other specialty beverages, I think because of that, eventually this ultra high end could experience some slowing down
Yeah.
In terms of just people stop coming up with ideas just because it's hard to maintain a career in coffee to even have those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's partly why we're seeing such an increase in home baristas and the gadgets and the machines. And, you know, it's like people are just brewing it at home and they're not doing it professionally or commercially because, one, they have time to do a crazy WDT thing or like spray the beans or whatever. They're not like in a big rush. But
yeah, then translating that to commercial, and you got like the Titus tricked out grinder with all the bells and whistles on it.
Yeah.
But that's not taking on in the mainstream anytime soon.
Right.
You know,
comments here at Costco is dollar on dollar cheaper per cup, but you got to spend $100 for 56 capsules. So I probably wasn't about
it. It didn't look like that.
Oh, okay.
It looked weird, honestly.
Huh.
Like it looked like effed up.
Like it was smaller? A smaller format?
Dude, I don't know.
It's also on the app here, it's only the dark roast profile.
Mm.
I think it was said like medium roast. Mm. I was in Woodstock. It was a blur. Whatever.
Woodstock. I'm going to set Woodstock as my warehouse and see if it changes.
Coffee's cool. This is a cool industry to be a part of. I'm grateful. Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see what happens this year in the home barista space, in the commercial space, maybe in a lab space. Because all of this, what you're saying is a great point, is like all this is influencing the way that we're serving our hundreds of thousands of guests a year, you know? So it's like it is making all of these little nerd sessions are making a change, and just like whether it be just a genuinely better latte or a better cappuccino or a better drip coffee. I mean, it's just a nice thing we're making, and we can keep things at a similar price. It's just like we're refining this process of refinement is giving a better end result to a lot of people.
Make it nice, dude.
Dude, it's not that hard. Make it nice.
We got to review this coffee.
Where'd this come from?
Thank you to JP for who's going to be on the program next week.
You're serious?
I'm serious.
I'm nervous.
He gave us this coffee this past week, and it is one that we talked about and was talked about on our year review of awesome packaging, Process Coffee out of Belfast.
Belfast.
So you can see here, I guess some of you younger viewers might not know. We've got a VHS tape of sorts.
What's that?
As packaging.
Is this 2020? Top left corner? Since 2020?
Yeah.
That's hard to understand.
Ooh.
I'm confused.
Dang, dude.
And now I'm mad.
But for this special iteration, they changed the packaging a little bit. And then on the side, in handwriting, they wrote Christmas Day 2023 as if my mommy recorded a video of me opening presents and
turned it into coffee.
And turned it into coffee somehow.
There's going to be tech for that.
What's the coffee, though?
The coffee is, I wonder if they have a process. Yep. It's a natural Costa Rican Villa Sarchi. Mm-hmm. Notes of maple syrup, orange, fresh, and juicy.
So it's not a blend.
It's not. It's a single origin coffee.
Turns out you don't have to have a blend for your holiday blend.
I think a few folks out there did that this year. But yeah, they're trailblazers on this one. This is the only packaging like this I've ever seen.
How long do you think it takes to package this? So the bag doesn't have anything on it. But the box sleeve has two applied stickers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just two stickers.
It probably doesn't take that long.
Yeah. Boop. Do you guys like this?
The packaging?
The packaging.
Oh, I love it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome for displaying shelf space. If I was ever going to, it's kind of like a book, I feel like putting it on the shelf like this is as if you're like putting the pages open.
Whoa.
But this is how you have to put it on the shelf to know what the coffee is to show the end consumers. It looks more natural if you put it on like this. So if there was almost a way to have it this way and then like also say what coffee it was right here.
All right. Oh, that's really going to hurt its score. I'm nervous. I think they're nervous too. Do you think they have any idea over there in Belfast that we're talking about their coffee in Georgia right now?
They don't know.
I mean, they follow us on Instagram.
Really?
I think.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they comment on some stuff sometimes.
Hey, thanks for the listen and the follow process. Super tasty. I like saying super tasty. That's nice.
Okay.
So let's score this thing.
Yeah. All right. What are we thinking on the aesthetic?
Well, we do content first.
I'm sorry.
We always do content first. Oh.
Kalita Wave brew recipe is pretty big.
Have we ever seen just like a brew recipe on the back? What? This is crazy.
But then they also have a little about right there.
Dude, read it. All right, I'll read it. Let's kick back, push forward, and chase the tastiest brews together. Processed coffees are selected to showcase the origin, terroir, varietal, process, and producer in the best way we can. And you're part of the process now. Rad, right? So nail these brews, pass it around, and drink in the daily. Enjoy.
Enjoy?
Yeah, he spelled with a Y.
Whoa. Is the Instagram on there somewhere?
Yeah. I saw it.
And the website. Awesome. All right. Content out of 10. 1, 2, 3, 9.
Nine.
Just needs a QR code.
You were a QR code away. I'm joking.
Aesthetic. 1, 2, 3, 10. You say 9? Mm. Wow.
What could have made this better?
That's such a good question, Ethan. I think I agree with what he was saying earlier about like how do you display this coffee?
Mm. Thanks for opening up about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. UX. All right, guilty. I made this coffee.
I want to weigh in here as well.
Why do I always make the coffee?
Because me and Ross are setting up.
I set up too.
Because you walk in because you're with CartPath.
Yeah, I'm with my Frisbee bros. I'm always like 45 minutes late.
Anyways.
Sorry. That was
I was the late one this morning. Let's be clear. Because I was with CartPath. So you have the bag. Whenever I have put the bag back in there and then put this in here, because I've had process at home a couple times.
Flex.
Guilty. I sometimes have trouble getting it back together.
It's tight.
Yeah.
It's a tight fit.
But it has to be.
It has to be.
Because it has to stay together.
That's a really good point, Ross.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Okay. What do you want to give it? 4? the classic 4?
And then you have to, you can't create a air pocket, so you have to pinch right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking like a 3 to me, guys.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Dang.
But you feel cool.
That's cold.
Doing it.
3.5?
No, give it a 4, because then the bag had a nice little like pull tab to open writing right here. And it felt cool.
Awesome. Felt smooth.
Yeah.
Felt slick.
Smooth ride. We're ready to say cool out of 5.
All right. We're going to give it a 4. What about flavor? I wish I had more. But I know what my flavor score is.
I do too.
Can I? Hold on. Oh. Got it.
1, 2, 3, 8.
Sure. Whatever.
Okay.
I don't care.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Me too.
Super balanced for a natural.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Awesome finish.
Didn't you guys feel like this was like the chocolatey, most developed natural you've ever had?
Are you trying to call back to some stupid something someone said?
Yeah. I'm the stupid someone in this situation.
I didn't say the someone was stupid. I said the something was stupid.
Yeah. A very smart, cool someone said something very stupid.
Are you being serious?
No, I was joking. I was joking. We just, dude, I can't have another natural on this podcast. I'm sick and tired of it.
Is next week's coffee a natural?
JP's going to kill us.
Yeah. No joke. It's a natural.
Darn it. Yeah, it's a juicy, natural, anaerobic.
It's an anaerobic natural espresso profile is what it says.
Who
on
is
it.
This from?
That is from, I believe her name is Amelia. She listens to the program, and it's from, she lived, I believe, in Amsterdam.
It got mailed to us?
I think that she is from the area, and she was back, or maybe she's back permanently.
What's
she
her deal,
She gave
man?
Us this coffee.
What's her deal?
She's listening right now, so thank you.
Hey, thank you.
We're going to taste it next week. We're not talking about this right now, Ethan.
Well, I'm just saying,
what
bro.
What do you guys want to rate this package?
Stop.
Y'all quit.
Enjoyability of processed Christmas Day 2023. That's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to rate it in 3, 2, 1.
Eight. Nine, bro?
I thought it was lovely.
I did, too.
I mean, eight's lovely,
eight,
too.
Eight means lovely. Nine means really lovely.
Yeah, what is it, bro?
Maybe we need words with all these numbers.
Like, I'm probably going to brew another cuppa. Another cuppa after this. Guys, crunch.
Am I about to crunch? Yeah, I'm
going to
do it. Don't do it, dude.
You're not allowed.
No.
You're officially not allowed.
Okay.
All right, that was kind of brutal.
Yeah. Oh, good, though.
I'm glad I didn't do it. The crunch score is going to be way off this week because I'm not going to weigh in.
Mm.
I'm a 3.
There's levels. I got a 3 on this, too.
Better luck next time.
All right, I'll tally.
Very vegetal. Very vegetal crunch. WTH.
Guys, it was great to be back on the program with you boys.
You mean it?
Mm-hmm. I do mean it.
What?
42.
42.
That's one of our highest scoring coffees.
Every week, man. We're just always going to say that.
Another highest scoring coffee.
But this time we actually mean it. We don't get above 42 often.
Well, it's free throw?
Like 42 and a half or something, right?
Yeah, it was better than this.
I think it's probably, what was last week?
Cultivar.
It was pretty high, right?
It was like a 39.
Yeah.
So dude, that was the super chocolatey natural.
Mm-hmm.
And we meant it.
Sorry, I don't know if you guys noticed, but every time we do this, I say, what was free throw?
Yeah. Evoke set, dude. Yeah, I think now we've got free tats, free throw, free throw, and process.
And then next week, Rumbaba.
Let's go.
Let's get it, Rumbaba.
All right, guys.
And sorry, Arthur Smith.
Oh, geez.
For being fired from the Atlanta Falcons.
Some people did send me messages. Multiple people sent me messages saying, can't wait to hear about this on the podcast.
All right, look, if you're done listening to the coffee part, get out of here.
Wait, one last thing on that. Last trend, oat milk is dead. Go ahead.
Right, oat milk is dead. I'm happy to serve it, okay? It's great. It's probably still the best milk alternative. But people, the mass consumers are back to whole milk.
Yep, they are.
They're done with seed oils.
Okay, on to football.
Arthur Smith, 3 years, 21 and 30.
7-10, 7-10, 7-10.
That's kind of crazy.
First 2 years, above expectations. Third year, high expectations. Didn't deliver.
We lost to some really bad teams.
Yeah. We really
Commanders,
did.
Commanders, Cardinals.
Panthers.
Panthers.
Those were the worst of the bunch, for sure. Some people would say Arthur Smith wasn't throwing interceptions. Arthur Smith didn't fumble the ball 14 times. And to that, I would say, I think rumors, I don't know if it's true. I think Arthur Blank went to Arthur Smith and said, should we go after Lamar Jackson and bypass Terry Fontenot? Because just saying, Thomas Dimitroff, he was on Rich Eisen a year ago. And he was like, I know how these things work. Terry is not a part of this conversation. It's the two Arthurs that are talking about this right now. And we can see that Arthur Blank clearly has no respect for Terry with this whole coaching search going on right now.
Because he's not a part of it.
He's not a part of it. And he's the one that knows more about football than the other guys. Rich McKay.
Wait. You think Terry Fontenot is not going to be part of the head coach hunt?
He's not.
It's been said. He's like,
I heard from Arthur Blank's mouth that he was.
He said it that the search is going to be led by Arthur Blank and Rich McKay with input from Terry Fontenot.
Read between the lines, bro.
And then there's a presser where the GM isn't there. It's just.
I love Terry.
Me too. I also don't like Rich McKay. He's been at that organization through all of the bad. And I'm like, when is he going to be held accountable?
What does a CEO of a sports team do?
He's the middleman between the owner and football operations.
But he also is a part of these coaching searches that are always going poorly. So
it's my mom's old boss.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear what your mom thinks about Rich McKay. But
get her on the horn.
Nothing but good things, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure. So that's where I am with all of this.
Wait. You're saying...
Okay, so Arthur goes to Arthur and says...
Arthur.
He says, Arthur, this is your decision. Do you want to go after Lamar Jackson? Or should we ride it out with Ritter?
Is Ritter going to be better than Lamar Jackson?
And Arthur Smith, because clearly this is how the dude is, says... No, I think I can get it done with Ritter. We've got the rest of the team. In the same way that he didn't use freaking Bijan Robinson to the best of his ability. Because he thinks that it makes him look good to go about things the other way.
Well, you're getting like motives on this guy, right?
Jonnu Smith.
Like spreading the ball
huge
around.
Huge part of the offense over Kyle Pitts. That kind of vibe.
He's a dog, though.
No. Don't get me started there. So
I mean, he is.
You...
Jonnu?
Yeah.
You then look at it and you say, okay, this probably was Arthur Smith's fault because he says he can get things done with Ritter. Clearly, he's wrong.
Yeah.
And then you look at who we could have had, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew. You're going to tell me he wouldn't be in the playoffs right now with one of those guys?
Flipping Joe Flacco,
freaking
bro.
Flacco. We'd be sitting at 10 wins.
Easy.
If Arthur Smith
playing the Eagles,
but you just look at it and you're like, okay, 2 weeks in a row, stupid play calls on your own 2 yard line,
yeah,
safeties 2 weeks in a row, that's on the head coach.
Yep, play so, action in the end zone, bro.
It's on the offensive play caller, which is the head coach. So
he calls the plays.
Yeah,
not Ragone.
Absolutely not.
He calls the plays.
Not anymore. No, everyone was saying like the Falcons are going to hire Mike Vrabel, and Mike Vrabel's offensive coordinator is going to be Arthur Smith in Atlanta.
Bro.
That's a joke. That would never happen.
Really funny.
Would you be mad if Ryan Nielsen became our head coach?
No, I would not.
I wouldn't be mad either.
I love the players coach, and that's what he is, I see. If he would do that and relinquish DC duties to someone else, and we would hire a good offensive coordinator... I think that would be great. What's going to happen? Vrabel to the Patriots. He's going to hire Arthur Smith as his offensive coordinator.
That is true.
Belichick, Atlanta, Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator.
Why would Belichick go to Atlanta over like the Panthers?
Money. Chargers. He gets paid
no one
big money.
No one in their right mind is going to go to the Panthers organization unless it involves $20 million a year,
which is what Belichick makes.
Yeah. I'm just saying he wants to win a Super Bowl. He wants to win his division as soon as possible. Him with his status as a head coach, I'm not saying he's the right fit for Atlanta. He comes to the NFC South. Whatever team he goes to, he's winning the division.
He's got so much to prove.
Next year. So he comes to Atlanta. We're going to win the division. And it gets us that much closer to like him being a Super Bowl.
He's going to get Tom out of retirement. Tom Brady's going to go NFC South Part 2.
I would be so conflicted in that situation.
It would be really entertaining.
It would.
Get Edelman out of retirement.
Calvin Ridley.
Get Calvin Johnson out of retirement.
Dude, he could play. I know he could.
Russell Wilson, backup QB.
All right, we got to stop. This is ridiculous. We'll see you guys next week. Love you.
Peace.